Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning and welcome to another week on Africa Link. My name is Abubakar Jallo, your host, and here are our top stories. Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari today marks his first day in office.
I expect to see a government that will make Nigerians, they will feel worthy again.
From power to economy, job, fuel scarcity, the corruptions.
Buhari should give the same attention to economy and the insurgency.
East African leaders call on the government of Burundi to exercise restraint and delay the elections.
The summit concerned at the impasse in Burundi and the need for further dialogue called for a longer postponement of the elections in Burundi for a period not less than 1.5 months.
These are the stories we've lined up for you in addition to our popular drama series Learning by Air, all coming in the next 25 minutes. Do stay with us.
Top story.
It's day one for Muhammadu Buhari as president of Nigeria, Africa's largest economy and most populous nation. Buhari is stepping into the shoes of Goodluck Jonathan, who ran Nigeria for a 5-year term and was voted out in March. Critics blame Jonathan for failing to tackle Nigeria's security crisis and corruption, among many other issues. So is it going to be difficult for Buhari to walk in Jonathan's shoes? Let's now head to Lagos, where our correspondent Sam Olukoya has been finding out what people expect from President Buhari.
I expect to see a government that will make Nigerians, they will feel worthy again. At the point, we seem to have lost our humanity. We seem to have lost our pride as a group of people. So I expect to see a Nigeria that will make us feel that sense of pride, that sense of worthiness, that we are real beings, we are humans, we are dignified, and then that will take its place in the black world.
Our expectation is very, 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 very high. I would believe he has seen it all. He knows our problem from power to economy, job, fuel scarcity, the corruptions and all of that. And when he was doing his campaign, he actually made mention of all this, that all of that will be taken care of. And by so doing, we believe that it will not fail us.
Buhari should give the same attention to economy and the insurgency, in the sense that if the economy situation is bad, there will be no finance to tackle insurgency. And if insurgency is not being taken care of, there will be problem in the economy. So I think a proper attention has to be given to both. My expectation from Buhari is that he should tackle the issue of corruption, because he's an anti-corruption man. A lot of money have been looted, missing. He would do this country very well by trying to recover those money that have been looted.
My expectation for the General Muhammadu Buhari government are very simple. The security, let him give it the maximum attention. You need to talk about people. People run the economy, but people need to be, their life need to be protected so that they can run the economy. So the security is most important.
My expectation for Buhari, maybe...
Wait, in short, we're expecting Messiah, at least for a change and better country. Maybe, according to him, said a light will be a team of past and roads, water, mention them, fuel. As you can see, it's scarcity now. I don't know what the country is turning for, but I pray that God will at least walk through him.
Sam Olukoya in Lagos compiled that report. President Buhari is inheriting a country at war with Islamist insurgency. The militant group Boko Haram carried out 2 separate attacks over the weekend in Maiduguri, leaving scores of people dead. Will fighting Boko Haram be one of Buhari's top priorities? I put that question to Liz Donnelly, assistant head of the Africa program at Chatham House in London.
Well, there are a lot of things that need to be at the top of his to-do list, but he himself recognised his most immediate challenges in his inauguration speech, where he identified insecurity, pervasive corruption, and the fuel and power shortages as real immediate challenges. But obviously those things that he lists are actually deep systemic challenges and tie in a lot of the other difficulties that Nigeria is facing.
I presume Boko Haram will be among his top priorities. The militant group did carry out an attack in Maiduguri. Is it that the group is showing off that it's still a force to be reckoned with?
It may be the group is showing off that the change in leadership will make no difference to it. But I think in 2015, this is one of the areas in which we are likely to see most progress by the new government, given that actually the coffers are empty. The Boko Haram crisis is one issue on which there is some momentum. Some progress has been made, and the new government will hopefully be able to pick that up and squeeze the insurgents even further.
What kind of state has he inherited? What state has his predecessor left the country in?
He has inherited a state with a struggling economy, with corroded institutions, with deep insecurity, and with really difficult, quite tense politics. So none of the things that President Buhari has to tackle are straightforward. And I will say, although this is what he's inherited, these challenges have been long running, a long time coming. This is about a legacy of years of corruption, mismanagement, coups and counter coups, and flawed democratic institutions. Expectations are certainly very high. He's not going to fix anything, but the hope is that in crucial sectors, he will be able to take significant steps forward that can at least put many of Nigeria's democratic institutions on the path towards strengthening development accountability.
Liz Donnelly from the British think tank Chatham House in London.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
East African leaders held an emergency meeting in Tanzania on Sunday to help resolve the political stalemate in Burundi. President Pierre Nkurunziza is bidding for a third term, but opposition parties and their supporters claim that the bid violates the constitution. This has sparked weeks of deadly protests and a regional refugee crisis. Nkurunziza himself did not turn up for the meeting, but sent representatives instead. To find out the outcome of the meeting, I spoke to our correspondent in Dar es Salaam, Charles Ngereza.
Yeah, the head of state for the East African countries summit had agreed in regards to the crisis in Burundi as follows.
The summit concerned at the impasse in Burundi and the need for further dialogue called for a longer postponement of the elections in Burundi for a period not less than 1.5 months. Summit appeals to institutions of Burundi, including its parliament, to facilitate this postponement. The summit calls on all parties to stop violence and exercise restraint during this period.
They also urged all parties concerned in Burundi to disarm all the armed youth groups, to create an environment that will allow the return of refugees who have fled weeks of political turmoil in Burundi.
Nkurunziza himself wasn't present at the meeting. So were the representatives rejected this decision?
Obvious, according to the normal rules that we have already seen, is probably we expect that once he returned maybe to Burundi, maybe Nkurunziza will have a word to say. But obvious, this decision is unanimous, and according to the rules, once the head of state is presented, it means that all the decision that has been passed is going to be respected as the decision of the summit.
This summit was called as a result of a strong push from the opposition parties in Burundi. How did they react to this outcome?
It's obvious opposition parties and other rights groups in Burundi are welcoming this decision with lots of hope that things may change and create a more democratic environment, which probably, in my view, will end the ongoing crisis in Burundi and allow free and fair elections to take place and end this crisis that have witnessed a lot of loss of life.
Where does the host country, Tanzania, stand on this crisis?
There's no way that it can have a different stand, as it is only hosting this summit because it is President Jakaya Kikwete who is now the chair of the summit. So it must stand on what the head of states together agreed.
Charles Ngereza speaking to me earlier from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. One of the world's largest ever peacekeeping missions is gradually coming to an end in West Africa. Liberia has been through tough times in its recent history. First, it was a civil war estimated to have killed over 200,000 people. And second, it became the epicenter of the world's worst ever Ebola outbreak. At the height of the civil war in 2003, the United Nations deployed its largest peacekeeping mission to Liberia. But after two successful elections, the UN is scaling down its mission in the country. Daniel Nyakona reports from Monrovia.
At the height of a bloody civil war, the United Nations established the United Nations Mission in Liberia, or MIL, with a screen for 15,000 troops. Now the troops are nearing departure and could be leaving behind an enormous challenge for President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf and our administration to maintain national security. Already, youth violence has surfaced as a serious security risk. Most of these youth riots have occurred due to the Liberia National Police treatment of street peddlers and motorcyclists who, in search of self-employment and livelihood, are key players in the informal sector of the Liberian economy. Ordinary Liberians are skeptical of the future without the UN mission.
I would like to appeal to all male should not leave from Liberia at this time, even 2017, because the security sector is not mature enough to handle the security affairs of our country.
This lack of trust in the Liberian government to provide security for a nation rebuilding itself after a brutal civil war and the world's worst Ebola outbreak is wildly held here. But the police say that they feel misunderstood by the public. Police spokesman Sam Collins wants the public to support the works of the police force.
All we have to do right now is to work on what I would refer to as confident crisis, because there are people who believed that the current police force is that of the past. That is a message that we have hammered into their heads, and we would like to tell the public that all they have to do is to build the confidence within their own national institution.
While most Liberians are worried about security, OMIL is continuing the implementation of the Security Council's gradual withdrawal mandate. Russell Geeky is the chief for public affairs at the United Nations mission in Liberia.
What's been approved by the Security Council are reductions from now until the end of September. The Security Council will continue to monitor this, of course, and I think notions or clarity on a final plan will not come and not be improved until much later this year.
Liberians are also worried about the future of other public institutions. Since the end of the civil war, the UN mission has been supporting the rebuilding of state entities.
Daniel Nyakona with that report from Monrovia. And it's time for you to sit back and enjoy stories from the Crossroads Generation, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome back to Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
We're on the fourth season entitled Facing New Challenges, and this is the seventh episode, Evil Eyes. Nikki and Massey got married a few months ago, and Nikki adopted Massey's daughter, Linda. Even though Nikki and Massey really love each other, it's often difficult for them dealing with the fact that Nikki is HIV positive.
Come on, darling. You'll be late for work at the gym.
I'm not going.
Not going? Why?
I don't feel like it. Nobody there respects me anymore.
Not again, Nikki. You have to stop with all this self-pity and move on with your life.
Easy for you to say. You're not a victim. You're not the one who's disrespected.
On the other side of town, 12-year-old Summer and her older sister Noni are also living in difficult circumstances. Noni is disabled and their father keeps her locked up in chains.
Hey, Summer, what are you doing?
Dad?
What are you doing taking Noni out? I thought I told you she's not supposed to go outside under any circumstances.
Sorry, Dad. We...
Get her back to her room right now.
Dad, please. She needs to go out sometimes. She'd messed herself. And look what the chain did to her legs.
In the last episode, Summer's friend Kadu and his twin brother Banda found what seemed like a good meal to them. Dead fish just floating in the dirty Tandika River. They took Sam home, ignoring the shouts of a man who came running after them.
Hey! You kids! Get out of the river and throw that fish away! Can't you see it's contaminated?
La 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 la! You can't catch
you can't catch
Hey, stop!
La 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 la!
Damn it! These kids! I hope they don't eat that fish.
Kadu and Banda didn't hear his warning and took the fish home. Let's join them as they eat their evening meal with their mother Lulu.
Mom, can I have some of the spicy sauce? I want to put some on the fish. I don't really like the way it tastes.
Come on, it's delicious. I have to thank you, boys.
You're welcome, Mom. We caught it ourselves.
Don't brag now. You've already told me. But seriously, this is what I call responsibility. You're growing up now, so you can't just sit there and wait to be fed. You have to contribute to the household.
Ah, Banda, shame on you.
What?
You're spoiling the air.
No, I'm not.
Come on, Banda, stop it.
Hey, you two, stop squabbling right now and clear the table. What manners are you teaching your sister Joy here?
It's not me, it's Banda.
I don't care. Come on, both of you, clear the table and do your homework. Tomorrow is a school day.
Yes, Mom.
Eat, Noni, my daughter. Eat. Daddy wants you to grow big.
Jane Beth!
I know, baby. I don't like keeping you in chains. But it's not safe for you out there.
No! Jane Beth!
Shh! It's okay, baby. It's okay.
Sorry, Dad. Is everything okay? I heard her shout.
Everything is fine, Summer. Your sister is just complaining again about the chains.
Dad?
Yes?
Can I ask you something?
Of course, Summer.
Promise me you won't be angry.
Just ask Summer, my daughter. I won't get angry, I promise.
Why do we keep her in chains? Chain bed!
Come here, Noni. We can take off the chains as long as we're in here with you.
Yeah!
Summer, I've told you before. Your sister could fall unconscious anywhere, anytime, with no warning. We don't want her to be hit by a car or anything. We can't always be there to protect her. This is for our own good.
Was Noni born like this?
No. Your sister was born healthy. But when she was still little, someone looked at her with evil eyes. So now, even though she's older than you, she looks and behaves like a child.
I don't understand. What do you mean, someone looked at her with evil eyes?
She was bewitched.
Bewitched? Really? Does that really happen?
You have no idea, Summer, my daughter. There is so much evil in this world. But the God I pray to will take revenge for me. Your sister will recover. And whoever is responsible for this will pay one day.
Kadu, wake up.
Oh, what, Banda?
My stomach hurts.
Go to sleep. It'll go away.
Kadu!
What, Banda?
I need to go to the toilet.
Then go. Just let me sleep.
I'm afraid. It's dark out there.
I'm not going. You go.
You boys go back to sleep. What are you whispering about in the dark? You want to wake your sister Joy?
Mom, my stomach hurts.
Mine too, Banda. I haven't slept a wink. I was just going to go to the toilet. You want to come with me?
Yes, Mom.
Get the matches. It's dark and dirty out there. We don't want to step into someone's mess. Kadu, shut your mouth, you naughty boy. What are you laughing at?
Linda.
I'll be as quiet as possible, I promise.
No, Nikki.
Please.
Nikki, I'm tired. And besides, we're out of condoms.
Please, Mercy.
Excuse me? Are you asking me to have sex with you without condoms? In your condition, Nikki, really?
Just this once.
Nikki, what's wrong with you? You know once is enough to transmit the virus.
I'm your husband, for crying out loud.
I know you're my husband. You think I don't know that? You're HIV positive, for Pete's sake.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for reminding me.
Why are you doing this? Do you want to infect me? Is that what you want?
I want a baby, okay? I want a baby.
What?
Oh, what an astonishing announcement. Tune in next time to hear how Mercy reacts. And if you want to know more about Nikki's thoughts on this topic, he's more than happy to tell you. Take a look at his video diary on our website, dw.de/LBE. And what do you think about Paolo's statement that his daughter Noni is disabled because she was bewitched? Tell us your opinion about this on Facebook. Until next time, goodbye.
Everyone around us seems to have good advice, but do we want someone else to decide about our life?
So who do we trust? Who's a real friend? Who will support us and not only pretend?
I'm standing at the crossroads trying to be strong. Where should I turn to? Where do I belong?
My head is full of questions. I don't know what to do. There's so many options. Which one of them is true? There's so many temptations that you cannot just ignore. Maybe interesting for now, but how about tomorrow?
We get high and then fall deeper than we've ever been before. We can drown our sorrows, but in the end there will be more.
So let's step back and take a deep breath, cause what's coming up won't be easy.
But if you stick to your principles, you can live your life freely.
It's up, but we can do it.
Our life is in our hands.
It's up, but we can do it.
Our life is in our hands.
Whatever road you take and whatever choice you make,
let's be inspired by the future that we want to be great.
It's up, but we can do it.
Our life is in our hands.
But we can do it.
Our life is in our hands.
And now, a reminder of the main stories we have been reporting. It's day one for President Muhammadu Buhari as leader of Nigeria, and we've been hearing from Nigerians on the expectations from their new leader. East African leaders have urged the government of Burundi to delay the elections by at least a month and a half. We welcome your comments either via text message to country code 49160957 59510 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to AfricaLink DW53110 Bonn, Germany. My name is Abubakar Jallo in Bonn. Bye for now.